Linda, thank you for joining me in studio. You're very welcome to the show.
Thank you, Amber. Always love being on your show.
Love having you here. So we're going to talk a little bit about imposter syndrome today. So first of all, can you explain to us what it is?
So the first thing I would say on imposter syndrome is it's a feeling. And the feeling often is that I'm not good enough, or I might be found out, or I got lucky. And the voice that feeds it is the inner critic. And the inner critic voice will always be negative. And if you think about it, we all have 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day that go through our mind. And the science would say that up to at least 70% of them are negative. So the inner critic gets well fed. And when we look at imposter syndrome, often we see the world not as it is, but how I am. And depending on my self-talk will determine how healthy or unhealthy, which is the reality, my imposter is.
Okay, fascinating. Are there different types of imposter syndrome, or how does it present maybe?
So how imposter will show up, if you think about, if you're going to make a presentation or even coming on the radio today, I know myself that my inner critic was saying, okay, Linda, have you prepared for this? Will you be good enough? And what will it be like for the listeners? And that it's the inner voice. So in terms of the different forms, what it is there are different messages. So I might feel like that I'm not as good as or fast as. You might feel that your messaging might be, okay, maybe I'm a fraud, maybe I'm pushing myself here. If I make a mistake, you know, I'll be found out. Or, you know, people have this thing of, you know, I got lucky. You know, and I hear this a lot when people come to me for coaching and say, oh, well, I'm in this role, but I just got lucky. Someone left and I got the job. And I'm like, no, it's not that you got lucky, because we don't just, you know, you got to work hard to be lucky. Mm-hmm. And you worked here and you've got, you know, the capability and the competency and the character, you know. And I guess it is that I challenge people to feed the inner coach voice rather than the inner critic.
Okay, that's really interesting. Talk us through maybe that inner coach voice and what it means, I suppose, and how people can feed it.
So mindful that energy flows where thought goes. And so if my thinking says, well, I'm not good enough or I'll be found out, well, if that's the thinking, the energy that is going to follow that will be negative, and it's feeding that negative inner critic voice. The inner coach voice is actually, if I pause and check the facts and say, hold on a second, I've got so much experience, this is the success I have behind me. So I start building evidence, and the inner coach will look for the positive evidence. And it is a choice. And that's why I say to people is, you know, check the facts. Ask for feedback. We have this conditioning where we're afraid to ask for feedback. But actually, you know, you might get some really good evidence and positive feedback that says, actually, you know, I'm doing okay. And probably a thing to note as well is the imposter is there to protect us. It's not like it's a bad thing. It's that it's there to protect you so that, you know, when it does show up, if I'm making a presentation, it shows up. What I take from it is I need to plan. Mm-hmm. I need to practice. So there are ways of dialing up the inner coach and dialing down the inner critic, which feeds the imposter.
Okay, that's interesting to know. In terms of, I suppose, imposter syndrome, talk us through how it might impact a person then. If they are, I suppose, you know, having that sense of pressure, maybe that sense of self-doubt, and it's just maybe getting on top of them, like what impact could you see maybe physically or mentally?
I would say it can have huge impact physically and mentally. And if you think about, if I'm in a role where I believe that I'm not good enough, but yet I'm working it really hard, then I am going to be stressing myself, because the inner narrative is always on, you know, on me saying, are you good enough? Are you working hard enough? And perfectionism would feed into it as well, where, you know, people set really high standards for themselves. And, you know, I often say to people, what's good enough? And they don't know, because you keep pushing and pushing. And I work with people and say, you know, nobody needs to check your work, because no one's going to be a harder taskmaster on you than yourself. So I would say that, you know, left undealt with or left run away with itself, the imposter will absolutely lead to a lot of stress that's there, a lot of the anxiety that's there, because it's that internal narrative which ultimately can lead to burnout.
And I was going to ask you about that as well, Linda, because we do hear a lot about stress and burnout, I suppose, in employees. And that's what I was going to say, like if that imposter is left to kind of just fester there, is that the impact that you'll see in the long run then, that people are burnt out and they're so stressed that maybe it's having such a toll on them that they can't actually do their work anymore?
Absolutely. And I think what happens is that sometimes we don't ask for help, or we don't admit, actually, I'm doubting myself, until I get sick or until I'm burnt out. And then it's like, okay, if we could only have had that conversation. And that's why I often talk with managers and say, when someone's presenting that they don't want to do something or they're presenting as if they're pushing back, I always say, start with compassion. You know, bring curiosity to what's behind the behaviour. Mm-hmm. Maybe people doubt themselves. Mm-hmm. So we might say, well, they don't want to do it, but maybe they don't want to do it is they actually believe they can't. You know, and to create that psychological safety for people in terms of asking people, you know, simple questions. How do you think you're doing? You know, really, and especially in the hybrid world we live in today, I feel that the imposter and that inner critic are really feeding out on it because I'm spending more time on my own. So I'm checking, you know, and I'm doubting myself more mm-hmm. because I'm working by myself. So I mightn't be getting even less feedback than I was getting before.
Yeah, that's a very good point actually to keep in mind because we do see so many people in that hybrid situation at the moment as well. I suppose when it comes to these kind of situations, whether it be hybrid or even in the office full time, in general terms, do managers know maybe how to deal with an imposter syndrome maybe and how to handle it if it is presenting with someone in the office?
So you certainly have a lot more managers who will be much more aware of it now, and especially those who are self-aware in themselves and those who are, you know, building on their own self-awareness, building on their own character, where they can lean into vulnerability. Because often it is the vulnerability piece where, you know, that side of vulnerability where I judge myself or I feel embarrassed to admit it. It's the managers who can see the other side of vulnerability, which is the courage side, where they bring that sense of safety and curiosity to, you know, they'll see it in people. They're also having in their one-to-ones or making sure they're checking in terms of how are you? You know, what's going well? What are the challenges? They're simple questions, but really profound, and making sure that we stay connected with our people.
And I suppose it's important, isn't it, as you said there, that people do, I suppose, make that time, the managers do make that time to check in with people because, you know, some people might be, as you said, maybe afraid to admit it, but this is probably something that happens everyone at some stage during their career.
I would say it happens to everyone, and also it can happen at different times as well. Somebody might appear really confident on the outside, but on the inside, you know, there may be a lot of stress, and that, you know, and I would see those conversations. I call them connected conversations, mm-hmm. And stressing on the word connected, and it's having conversation with the person about the person rather than the tasks. Because often we have our one-to-one meetings and we're going through tasks, we're going through KPIs, you know, talking to the person, how they're doing, how they're getting on, what support they need, yeah. You know, and it's having those conversations. Because if you work with somebody, and was working with somebody recently, and they talked about where they had gone to their manager and said that anxiety was something that was presenting for them, they were doubting themselves, and their manager put a whole support system in place with them, and part of that support was they worked with them and the manager was giving them feedback on what they were doing well. Mm-hmm. They got so caught up in a cycle of, you know, feeding that imposter. But actually they had a brilliant manager who said, no, I'll help you and I'll work with you. And the result of it is the person is a lot more connected in their work and they're you know, getting better results. So that's why investing that time in people is really important.
Absolutely. That's great to hear that a team was able to be put in place, or support was able to be put in place, should I say. If someone listening now, Linda, maybe thinks they relate a little bit maybe, or that they might be experiencing imposter syndrome, what advice would you have for them?
I would say, if people are listening out, they'll say, okay, that, you know, definitely pops up for me. And what pops up is like, oh, well, you know, what's wrong with me? Or why can't I do this better? You know, instead, when you get that, you know, I often say to people, get comfortable being uncomfortable. If the imposter is showing up, it means you're outside your comfort zone. There's a positive in that. Mm-hmm. Because if we live in our comfort zone, we never grow. We just re-evolve. We only evolve and grow when we're out of our comfort zone. So to pause and say, okay, I feel uncomfortable here. I'm going to see it as that I'm growing. I'm learning something new. It is awkward. What support do I need? Who do I need to talk to? Or maybe sometimes we need to get better as friends. Yeah. Saying, okay, you know what? I was listening to Radio Kerry and I was listening to Amber's show and I was like, I hear about imposter. It really shows up for me. Does it show up for you? You will be amazed where people will say, yes, it does. And some of these come from our childhood where there's messages we, you know, I'm not as good as, or not as fast as, or not as perfect as, you know, so it's amazing. It's deep down buried in our subconscious. Mm-hmm. But we need to normalize conversations about it rather than see it as I can't talk about it. We need to talk more about it because it's like anything. It's like sometimes when you talk about it, you release it. It has less control of you.
Okay, that's great to hear. You've kind of spoken already, Linda, in terms of, I suppose, what the managers need to be doing in terms of having that connected, you know, conversation and what to look out for. But if there's any manager maybe that's listening and they think that maybe they wouldn't be equipped for this maybe, or they'd like to find out a little bit more, as you know, the best way to tackle it, I presume they can contact yourself at Leadership 360 and find out a little bit more.
Absolutely, more than happy. I always say to people, reach out, because, you know, there's simple ways of doing this, you know, in terms of having conversations themselves, because that's the thing, we're talking about people, you know, come to their managers, but managers, a lot of managers, if you talk about the imposter, it is very strong where there is high performance and at senior levels where people think, well, they're really confident, you know, maybe they're not. So absolutely, if anyone wants to reach out, you know, Linda at leadership360.ie will find me, or I'm more than happy to speak to people and let's normalise it.
Absolutely. Linda, you were recently part of the TED series as well in Tralee. Tell us a small bit, I suppose, about what you were talking about and the important message, I suppose, that you wanted to share on the day.
Yes, Amber. So I was delighted to be part of TEDx Women with TEDx Tralee, and my talk just released on Friday. So it's the integrated life from burnout to balance. And the talk comes from my own story, I guess, a journey, as I said, from burnout to balance, which included 7 surgeries, 2 burnouts. And it's a story of struggle, vulnerability. And we talk about the imposter. The imposter fed out a lot on those weeks I would be off work in recovery. But most importantly, it's the learning to live differently. And, you know, right now, when I was doing my research for the talk, a Deloitte 2024 report said that, you know, up to half of working women, this is a global report, were already in burnout. So the integrated life is all about looking at, you know, we've become addicted to busyness, you know, and it's about how do we live in a way that's more effective. And it's moving away from endless busyness to truly living effectively. And it's built on 3 pillars, which is clarity, which is being honest about what really is important for you. Conscious choices, where I'm really focusing where my energy and my time are going. Okay. And courage. And courage is about stepping out into a new integrated way of life that takes bravery and courage. And sometimes, you know, it's the saying no to others and saying yes to ourselves. And really looking at what's really important and integrating personally and professionally what's really important and living with those conscious choices. And I always say it's not about doing more, it's about aligning what matters most.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good message and an important one to get out there as well. What kind of reaction, Linda, have you gotten from people since it's been released?
So it was only released on Friday, and for the first 24 hours, you have to get it up to 1,000 views for TEDx to push it out. And I guess the message is so strong, I'm delighted to say that it's over 2,200 already. And the amount of messages I receive from people saying, you're telling my story, you know, burnout is real, I really need to cop on. You know, so many people, it was just incredible, like where people are saying this has really resonated. And also when I talked about the surgeries, so I lived in endometriosis and it's one of those chronic silent illnesses. And I had a call this morning from a woman, said, you know, is there any way you talk to my daughter? She is really suffering, you know. So you're thinking, okay, if my talk can help one person, then great.
Fantastic. Well, it's great to see you sharing your story, because it is hard to share your own story as well at times, especially when you've gone through so much as well. But it's great, as you say, when it can help even just one person. And obviously it's helping more than that with the reaction you've gotten, which is fantastic.
It absolutely is. And look, I'm practicing what I preach in terms of, I say there's 2 sides of vulnerability. There is the negative side, which feeds the inner critic and the imposter. And then there's the brave side, the courageous side, that leading into that vulnerability where you bring that curiosity, where you bring in the courage. And out of that comes some great conversations and support. And I think this is where we need to get more real. Mm-hmm. And in this world of busyness that we've all got really caught up on, you know, it's impacting people's physical health, their mental health, their emotional health. So that's where, for me, the next chapter of my business, Leadership 360, is very much around working with people and teams and organisations to start bringing in more of the integrated life and looking after the whole person. Because if you look after the person, they're going to look after your business.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, Linda, thank you so much for coming into studio. It's been lovely to have you here.
Thank you, Amber.